Hello and welcome to another episode here in the OT Blase, your lab podcast. People that tune in from Germany will probably realize by now that this is not an ordinary episode, because today I have international guests here in my studio, as well as being alone. I have with me Raquel and Dan, both part of the organization team of the US version of the Drachenfest. Also, a huge shout out and thank you to Noah, who helped setting this interview up. Thank you so much for your help. So welcome and thank you for having me on such short notice.
Nope, no problem at all. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, good to meet you.
Can imagine that things got quite busy after the news broke. I think it was a month ago, 1.5 months ago.
Yeah, like a month and a half ago.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the news that the US version of the Drachenfest will take place sort of creeped through our Facebook sphere of the German lab scene, first starting in some meme groups and then making its way to the official Drachenfest group. And it's caused quite a lot of speculations. So we thought we invite you two and have a little bit of a chat of this upcoming event. Maybe we start with you introducing yourself, what your positions and your tasks are in this quite professional organization team, if I say so. I had a few chats and I was quite surprised how you could say, well organized the structure behind it all is. Usually German lab organizers are a little bit producer, so to speak.
Thank you very much. So I am Dan Comstock, and I'm the production director.
And I'm Raquel Skellington. I'm the PR ambassador.
Ah, PR ambassador. See, that's another thing, the nice titles. We are just, Kassenwart, something like this, which is the guy who does the finances. Yeah, it's very German, very German. what is your general, what do you do as in your positions usually?
Let's see. So I'm the I put together all the teams that are making Drachenfest happen and trying to give everybody their marching orders and the whole big picture of what the Drachenfest is. And I'm the producer. So I'm setting it up.
My job as the PM ambassador is that I kind of help make all the ties happen. Is that like I kind of go and, you know, get people involved and do a lot of community outreach. And I also, you know, help with a couple of the creative designs, like not the game design, but how things look to the public, like the rule book layout and things like that. I help kind of give a second eye and opinion to and whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely good to explain this because this is very professional in contrast to German lab organizers. I only worked in a few smaller ones, but our organizational structure was like we have a OneNote document and write everything down there.
It used to be like that, but like I have to say, the U.S. scene has, because the only way for LARPs to exist in the U.S. is if they are basically companies, so they require some type of professional structure to even just fundamentally like work, sort of.
Yeah, and just to say it up front, you are officially partnered with the organizers of the German Drachenfest.
Yes, we are.
Because this was also some of the speculations in the online scene. What is happening here? We never heard of this. Maybe we start at the beginning. How did this entire idea come about?
Well, I guess how did the idea come about? So I have, I've been LARPing for 20 plus years. And in 2006, I started attending big role play festivals in Germany. And I loved them. They were just so cool. The things that happened there were so exciting. And every year I couldn't wait to go back. And I was like, why don't we have something this cool here in the States? So I've always had this dream of starting the US LARP festival that brings us all together and gets us talking about the same things. And I've been wanting to start it for a while, but it was only somewhere in 2019, the group that I run LARPs with kind of met up with the German team and they came and visited us and checked out our game here in America. And you know, a friendship forms and ... several years later, we're starting up the US fork of Drachenfest.
Oh, great. 2006, that was also my first Drachenfest, actually.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I do LARP since 2005, so that was just 1 year after I started. But yeah, that's.
I have been not LARPing as long, but I've been LARPing for 10 years. Compared to Dan, it's not nearly as long.
It's a solid number.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, that was the interesting thing, how this idea came about, because nobody expected this. Like, this came totally out of left field once the news broke that something like the Drachenfest will take place in the US. Just for those people that don't know, the Drachenfest is part of the Big Three in Germany. The Big Three are the huge LARP festivals that we have. For one, the Drachenfest, of course, Conquest of Mythodea and Epic Empires. And those three all range in the, I think the smaller one is Epic Empires with like 2,000 participants, and Drachenfest is estimated about 4 to 5, sometimes 6,000, I heard. And of course the Conquest of Mythodea with like 10,000 plus. For what scale are you guys planning when it comes to this event?
So this year, the campsite that we're at, we can probably hold about 500 people, and we're hoping to hit that. But we have plans to move to a larger campsite that can hold more and more, and we'll just keep growing infinitely until we have 100,000 people. I don't know.
Sky is the limit.
That's kind of the thing here, like with bringing something like this to the U.S. is that like U.S. LARP culture and the culture on like the Americas, the continents, is just inherently very different than European culture. And that's just because of like differences between our countries and like how we're all raised and whatnot.
Their healthcare system.
Yeah, the healthcare system, you know, and like laws around creating events like this and like what that entails. So it's like something like this has never really been seen before on in the Americas period. I think the only festival that we have is Bicolín, but Bicolín even themselves don't really call it a LARP. It's more of like a battle festival / Renaissance fair, and they know that too, so it's not you know, so this is like the first time we are bringing something from the European landscape like this at this scale to the United States.
Your current location, if I saw this right, is on the west of the west side?
East coast. Yeah, so we're on the east coast.
From New
York.
Yeah, near New York.
Yeah, okay. So sorry.
We're closer to you.
Marginally, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you maybe tell us a little bit of this location? Because in my opinion, such a huge event always either benefits or is severely handicapped by the location it takes place in.
The East Coast of the U.S. has kind of been like the LARP capital, because it kind of came here first and then like disseminated outwards in the U.S. So a lot of like LARPs that tend to be like do you guys have the term blockbuster in Germany?
I think we call it just very plainly Großkon, which means big event.
Okay, well,
we keep it simple here.
They can be kind of like these big showstoppy events, and this is something that became really popular in this area of the United States, and basically the East is where most of like the U.S. LARPing culture has come from. And so New Jersey, actually the camp that we are holding this at is my first LARP camp. So I grew up there. I started LARPing at 15, which is pretty rare in the US to start young. Most people start over 18. And so this camp is very familiar to those in the community who have been there. It's kind of like a staple here in the East Coast, and like a lot of LARPs have run through there because it is a LARP camp. So like the scale of this is like kind of getting all, it's like the Infinity Gauntlet with like all the stones and connecting all of the communities in the US to kind of work together and come to the East to make something new.
The campsite that we're using has been, it was bought a long time ago by LARPers to use for LARPing. So a lot of the structures and features of that campsite have been lived in by LARPers for a long time. So you see buildings with like runes carved on the side. There's like stone staircases going through the woods that people have painted with, you know, glow in the dark runes, so you can find them in the night. And there's all sorts of weird little like mushroom displays, and like it feels, even without a LARP running there, it feels like this high fantasy space.
Yeah, I mean, and even that is not really that common in German, that organizers or LARPers actually own the locations. There are a few exceptions, but usually it's like a rented space or like a landed space.
Very uncommon here.
It's extremely uncommon. I think on the East Coast, there's currently only like two actual like LARP camps, like camps that were bought by LARPers, owned by LARPers, and LARPs are run there. One is in New Jersey, which is the camp that we're using, and I think another one is in Massachusetts.
Oh, awesome. You already mentioned the different styles and play styles. For instance, with such things like buffer sports being so popular in the States, what kind of play style do you want to see on your event?
So, you know, we really consider ourselves a role-playing game first. You know, so people that just want like a pure sport experience, there's a lot of games that are just about whacking each other with swords and there's no story. You know, that's not so much what we're going for, but we're hoping that people from those traditions will come and get interested in story and role play and magic and stuff like that. We're really trying to create a very role-play focused, but
yeah.
We want like a buffet of styles. Like that's kind of the amazing thing about Drakkarfest. It's like, I think here in the US, we've had a big problem of like, oh, well, this style of LARP is superior to your style of LARP. When in fact, they're all different and they all have different needs and they have different ways of having fun. And this is kind of like, we're combining as many styles as we can and allowing people at Drakkarfest to pick what they like to play and play on it how they would like to play on it. So we will have battles for those who like to fight, and there will be copious amounts of role play. And we're just kind of trying to show people that, like, yes, you can do this role play first, and kind of guiding everybody into that so they can pick what they want to do.
Yeah, I've always thought one of the really magical things about Drakkenfest in Europe is how player driven it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we're kind of excited to see what style emerges from having all these people in the same place trying to collaborate with each other.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. When I first heard the news that Drakkenfest US will happen, I was, yeah, that makes sense, because from the big free event, the Drakkenfest gives the player the most freedom, I would say. It's literally like a choose your own adventure kind of event.
It's
one of the things I love best about it.
That would also lead to the question, when it comes to combat, would you more lean into the European like light touch way, or do you go to the full-on like speed and flippy stuff that the both our people doing?
We like, again, because it's a very role play focused festival, you know, we do want to try to bring as much of the German style over as possible, where you see like big reactions to hits and a lot of role playing and combat. And, you know, when people cast spells, it's big and spectacular. We think that adds so much to the game.
Yeah.
You know, here in the US, we also have a style that's called emergent LARPing, which kind of combines what would, I don't like using the name, but traditionally be called Nordic LARPing and like West style. It's kind of like fusing them both sort of together. And a lot of the combat style that a lot of the East Coast has become very familiar with is that kind of super theatrical, show-stoppy. Like, it's not about actually how many hits you're getting in or, you know, this, that, and the other. It's about the narrative of the fight and like how people make it entertaining, not just for themselves, but for the other player and people possibly watching.
Yeah, are you planning?
Yeah, we have a guide coming out in a few weeks that talks about how we want people to play at the game. And one of the things that we touch on in there is that being a good fighter doesn't mean you win all the fights.
Yes.
It means you look cool and you're fun to play with, and there's like give and take. So there's not a lot of that style in the US right now. So we're really hoping to bring everybody into it.
Yeah, that would have been my next question, if you plan to embed this somehow into the rules, into the game setting as well. Also, another question that is probably a little bit polarizing, especially from the European side and the US side. How will kits be handled? Because the term kit requirements is sort of a red flag for a lot of people. Is there anything you want to encourage, or is it free form for everyone?
That's a good question. We have a costume guide that's going to be coming out that will tell people about what we hope
you'll look like coming to game?
In the American scene, like, I do feel like this is a large misconception from a lot of Europeans, and I understand why.
Good thing that I asked
shown
this.
On the internet, yeah, I know. But most Americans actually have pretty good costuming. Mm. It's pretty rare to go to a LARP nowadays, unless it's more of like a battle kind of buffer game. Most LARPs tend to have fantastic, at least base level costuming. I feel like that era of the US kind of passed in like 2012, 2013. Mm. And ever since like 2016 and onwards, we've had a really different way of approaching costuming in the US. I also think some of that is because of the culture that has developed around LARP and how LARP is well known now as it's, you know, a luxury thing. And so people, I think, had to get that through their minds that, like, okay, mm-hmm. if you're gonna do this thing, you're gonna invest in it, you're investing in your costume, that's part of the art. And so that's kind of where people are at now, where honestly most Americans have a really decent basic kit.
Yeah, I think the misconception comes really from the online platform, where very vocal minority really goes hard at the simple idea of having some sort of kit requirements and or having like a certain standard of stuff that you would like to see. And
it's because, like, the US, like we said, the US is a very big place, and not all of the communities have been talking to each other. So what may be a kit requirement in the East Coast may be outrageous to the Midwest, or if the West Coast, their costuming requirements are like through the roof. Mm. And so they may seem outrageous to somebody from the South. So what the standard is per area that you come, and also Quebec, like, it's different everywhere. So we're going to try and make it as, you know, fair as possible to everybody across the board with what they're coming in with.
And maybe this is a tangent, but, like, I think that when you see a LARP with really good costumes, it's usually not the result of somebody kicking out everybody with bad costumes. I think usually it's that people with really, like, that's a space where people bring a really excellent costume to, and then when other people see that, they get excited and they want to raise their own bar to it.
Exactly.
So that's my thinking about Drakenfest US is kind of that hopefully it's a place where everybody comes and they notice, like, oh, people like weather their costumes. Like, I could do that. That's not difficult, and it makes it look really good. You know, so maybe this is a place where people are going to learn a lot of techniques that they weren't exposed to before. It's one of the benefits of having such a diverse group in the same place.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, Dan. And we're also, you know, lucky enough to have some of famous LARP brands like Calamasil and Artisans d'Azur and Nemesis and whatnot take interest in Drakenfest as well, that will have their own booths there that, you know, people during the game, maybe they feel underdressed or whatever, we will have a bazaar and a merchant section where people can also, you know, pick up pieces as they go.
So yeah, I think it's also a good way of introducing a different kind of, like, a costuming style and weathering styles and how you wear stuff. This is how, for instance, how I learned a lot of my first inspirations for LARP clothing. It's like seeing other players with cool costumes and saying, oh, cool, this is possible to do, or oh, this is cool way, do you got this, and so on. It's really a good idea to do this and to introduce this kind of unifying platform. Another question, of course, with a lot of people looking at this, is the rules themselves. In Germany, DF is more on the slightly rule heavier sides. How would you sum up the rules for your event?
We started with the German rule book, and we started by just kind of writing translation's the wrong word, but kind of just adapting them into a more familiar format, and then we went through again and tried to streamline it and make it very accessible. So I think we've prioritized accessibility. We want people, especially people that are new to LARP, to not have to struggle with a bunch of tables and points and make a bunch of, like, really complicated decisions. If you've never played a role-playing game before, like, trying to build a character for an event that you haven't been to is very confusing. So I think our rulebook emphasis is about trying to make the game really easy to come to and understand. In that, like, we, you know, in the German game, there's like a point system, you know, and you have a certain number of points to spend and you have to read a lot of skills. You know, we've kind of collapsed that down into, like, you know, you get to pick off of a list, and, you know, you come up with a character concept first, and then you kind of pick the skills that are going to let you play that character.
Not as much
math, not as much finicky rules. We really want to try to, you know, I think our rule book is under 20 pages.
It's under, it's under 15, actually. Our rulebook comes out to a 12-page rulebook, but really most of the pages end up getting taken up by illustrations. So it's really like 10 pages. We tried to, because Americans, trying to get Americans to read a whole rulebook is nigh on impossible. So, you know, especially people who have never done this before. And as Dan was saying, like, we want to make this barrier of entry as low as possible, where even like your grandma could come to Dragon Fest and understand what to do. That was really our goal.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm really glad to hear that, because there's quite a lot of discussion going between point-based systems and completely ruleless or almost no rule systems in Germany, with us being, me and my colleague being very vocal for the later one. we really don't like the system that's based on points and tables and all that. It's a little bit too...
Do math, so I can tell you.
too 1990s in my book. With that in mind, you also, if I understand correctly from the pre-talk, that you have also the motive to unite the communities a little bit with that approach of mixing and breaking down the different like rule and play styles. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I've been in a very unique position as a basically LARP content creator now for about like 6 years. I've traveled the world, so I haven't just LARPed in the US. I have gone to Germany, Austria, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, blah, blah, blah. And I have also traveled around the US, which not a lot of people, even in the US, do. Mm. So it was, when you zoom out of LARP, you can see all these little communities kind of all around the country. And there's, you know, the Quebec community in Canada, and, you know, you have the Toronto community in Canada. And like, all of a sudden it became like, oh, well, we all want the same thing. We all want to play the same things. We just don't talk to each other, or we don't know how. And so this has become, like, Drakenfest has become a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for finally, for the first time, I think it feels like in history, that all of the communities for once are finally talking to each other. The East is talking to the West and talking to the South and talking to Canada. And we are getting people across our international line between the US and Canada talking and involved, and even some people from Europe as well. And it finally feels like we're our goal of kind of making our staple festival for everybody here on this continent is kind of coming true. And, you know, everybody involved in the organization team, you know, we have a mix of cultures and backgrounds and genders. And so it's been really great because, you know, here in the US especially, LARP has always been shown as like a really nerdy male thing to do, when in fact, when you go to almost all the LARPs here in the US, there is absolutely women, and there is absolutely a variety of people that go to LARPs. And so we want Drakenfest to accurately reflect that. If we're going to be something that unites this community and unites our country, we have to show that there are all types of people and faces that do it.
Yeah, that's a pretty great notion. Also something that the German scene struggles a little bit. I mean, the communication between the different scenes, because there are different genres, different scenes, different like little bubbles with different rules and like playstyle things. And the attempt of like creating a unified platform has been done quite a few times. And unfortunately failed massively every time. But such huge events are great to like keep people getting people connected that are usually on different ends of the country. So I can definitely see this as a great opportunity for the US as well.
We get everybody into a single place and they actually talk to each other, and not just on the internet, because there's always a lot of communication problems on the internet.
Oh yeah.
People, even in Quebec, you know, French is spoken there first, not English. Mm. So even when we try and communicate online, there's a lot of like misunderstandings just due to the nature of the internet. And I have a feeling, fingers crossed, that when everybody gets in the same room, they'll actually realize that there's truly no difference between them. They're all the same nerds that want to play pretend, and we'll all get along, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, really hopefully. The problem is, the only exposure I have to the US scene is through online platforms, and let's say,
I'm sorry.
American-based online platforms for LARP are a different beast, definitely.
Yeah. We also know that too, and that's the thing, is that just as online platforms are not a representation of the entire European community, a lot of Americans know that, and we ask that, we hope Europeans know that what is on the internet is not the entire community.
Yeah, I mean, well. I mean, that's also why we have this chat. I think that's also a nice opportunity to show a little bit the other side, not what Facebook or Reddit is conjuring up. Also, another point that people raised when this news broke is, how about the in-game continuity between the two events? Are the worlds disconnected? Are the two separate worlds? Because just to give the little rundown for people that don't know, the overarching scenario is there's the Land of Dragons, where dragons are supposed to be the gods, and every year they do a contest to see who is the best, essentially, but they can't do it for their own, so they're sending into the lands avatars that represent their ways and their ideology and ulterior motives, and also their followers, which came from all across the somewhere multiverse, so to speak, into the Dragonlands and participate in this contest. And every year they do it with war, diplomacy, and other means, which always accumulates in a final battle where, through sometimes a little bit nebulous rules, of a winning camp is determined. Yeah, this is essentially the same plot of the Drachenfest every year, because it's like a good scenario that you can repeat over again. How is this for the other event? Is it the same land? Is it the same contest?
Yeah, so, as you said, the Drachenfest is like this, takes place in this world where the dragons are in charge, and it's known in the setting that it's really a multiverse, like characters come from whatever fantasy setting you're already playing, like they can come from anywhere.
I have a way to imagine.
Right. So, similarly, we are another world in this multiverse, and it's another world where the Drachenfest is taking place, and they're connected by the ritual circle in There's a ritual circle with the Urstrum, the primordial storm, which is kind of like how magic happens at Drachenfest in Europe. And so there's an idea that you could, with the right magic, you could walk through this portal and end up at our game. So if you travel from Germany to the US, that's maybe how you got there. And then you can have come from that world, and you can tell us about Drachenfest in Germany and, help us shape it over here. I've always thought one of the... Drachenfest in Germany has such an elaborate, rich culture that has been built up over time. So we can't just import all of that, but we are trying to start in the same place that Drachenfest started. The premise of the game and the basic, like, kind of the lore starting points of Drachenfest Germany are shared with our game. And then it's going to diverge from there,
Is there any way one event can influence the other with the outcomes of the contest?
Well, players can play at both. So to the degree that players at one event can influence the other event, yes. But there isn't a direct relationship between characters in the plot. Like, they are separate universes.
Okay, so if one dragon or camp wins and one side, it doesn't have any effect on the other event taking place.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You started with a certain selection of camps already. The European version, the German version, has a few camps more. Are you planning to add those later, or why?
Yeah, much like the German game, that started with a small number of dragons and added more over time based on player interest, and
or sometimes just put some away.
Yes, right. We probably are going to end up doing the same thing. We started with five, but as teams get bigger, they may split. And as people show up that are interested in a certain topic, a dragon may appear to support them.
What influenced the selection of those camps?
I mean, well, we'll find out. That hasn't happened yet. So
yeah.
Once we, if one team ends up being so huge that they can dominate the game, I think, much like the German game, it's, that becomes something you kind of break apart into two separate teams.
Yeah, I mean, this is always interesting, because with the camp, there comes always a slew of motivations and ideologies. There are huge discussions going what the actual ideologies of a camp are and how you follow them, and this entire dynamic will also be very interesting to see in the US version. Also, another question: usually the Drachenfest community communicates over one forum and sometimes a Facebook group. What kind of online platform will you use for this event so that people can a little bit like share their experience or in general like talk to each other online?
We have made the decision to start to move away from Facebook, especially as like, you know, I feel like a lot of the LARP community, especially like some of the younger folks, aren't really on Facebook. And so we have, you know, moved to using our own forum that is on our website. So people can start chatting with each other, and it's also connected to your ticket. So if you buy a ticket for Shadow Camp, it shows up in your little username and where you are and who you're with. And also the groups for each camp will be on the forums as well, so people can start organizing and prepping their game culture and whatnot. We went with that, and also we're using, you know, all social media platforms. You can find Drachenfest US on Twitter and Instagram and whatnot, but we wanted to centralize the conversation of, you know, prepping for the game and people getting to know each other on our own forum instead of relying on 50 million Facebook groups.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting because Facebook started and was kind of the death of a lot of forums in the past.
Right.
Yeah,
especially kind of in the LARP scene. Now. Yeah, it's true that. Yeah, maybe in the end, as you already said, then there is the possibilities for people to canonically change between worlds. So I think with your proximity right now, with your current location to New York, it's probably fairly, I say fairly for US standards, fairly easy to reach you from like an international travel standpoint.
Yeah, we're under an hour drive from two or three different international airports.
Oh, that's pretty good.
New York and JFK, and I even think Philadelphia International Airport, it's all within like an hour and a half of each other.
Great. If people from the from international, I mean not even Germany, like international in general, want to participate, is there some sort of like onboarding process beforehand for international players, or maybe some contacts people can contact to get more information of what they need to get over and to participate, so that they don't, I don't know, get stuck in at the airport or something?
We do have the forums as like kind of a pre-game social planning space, and if people reach out to us, we can kind of give them some tips about that. We haven't had a huge amount of that so far, so there isn't a large structure for it.
But, you know, of course, if any internationals, you know, have any questions or concerns about like travel, they can always reach out to us on our website chat window, or, you know, on Facebook or on Instagram. We'll be happy to answer any of your questions.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great thing, because especially when it comes to LARP, such questions like how get my gear across the ocean without getting into any trouble or losing it is always a good question. Or I don't know, something like, how does my insurance work over there?
Right.
It doesn't. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, those are the things that people need to hear.
Yeah,
but this is in general, I think, a worthwhile endeavor, because just looking at other events, like for instance, Conquest of Mitodea, they have an entire section just for international players, because the numbers keep growing, because people are interested in participating in LARP outside their country. But I think this could also be a good opportunity for like German players, if they have the time and the money to say, yeah, I do both now, and going back and forth. Maybe even if it's persons that are like higher ranked or of some significance in one game, it could be interesting to have them appear in the other.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I would really love to see a contingent of German Drachenfest players come over and help us set this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really amazing. And like, you know, as somebody who has traveled the world for LARP specifically, you learn a lot. You learn so much about going to a different country and LARPing there. Just not even just about like the culture, but the LARP culture there, and like what makes everything the way that it is there. And I think if, you know, we have an active channel going back and forth between us, it'll only help to make LARP as a whole, like worldwide, better for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You already mentioned that there is one event coming up. When exactly will that be?
It's June 8th through 12th.
With early arrival on the 7th.
Ah, okay. So you also do the early arrival.
Yes. So if people can set up and everything. Yeah, that's available on our website if people would like to come early.
Yeah, that's great. Do you plan to do this also an annual thing, or have you a different rhythm in mind?
Yes, annual event. I'm really excited to see what happens at the festival. You know, like this is the first time that anybody's doing something like this in this space. We're going to have a lot of people that have never role played together in the same space, trying to figure out how to make it work. And I like kind of expect to be surprised, you know, like when I'm running like a tabletop role playing game, like as a dungeon master, I always want to try to be surprised by the session. That's the most fun thing for me, is figuring out how players can do things creatively. And Drakenfest is the platform for that. It's oh, yeah. Such a great space for creative ideas and bring your energy and bring your style and show it off for people. So like I can't wait to see what happens. And I think everybody that comes is going to get to have a hand on building this.
We're always active in our community outreach. So if people would like to set something up with Drakenfest, or like maybe do a collaboration or something, you know, artistic, or even like a podcast like this, we are happy to talk to all like portions of the community. Nobody is too small. And I think that's really important that they know this too. Cause I know sometimes when you see a giant festival like this, as you said, we're very professional, but we're very friendly, and we all our goal is just to get everybody on the same page. So if anybody else, you know, wants to try and reach out and, you know, get involved, we encourage you to. We also have a volunteer system up that's available right now for referees, and we're looking for vendors and everything like that. So you could even come to the game and referee instead of, you know, necessarily playing a character as well. And all of these things are open and available for everybody to join.
Yeah, out of experience, I can say referees on such huge events are so, so important.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, especially when it comes to large-scale battles, you can't have enough eyes on the players. Yeah, thank you very much for this really nice chat about the Drakenfest. It definitely gives the entire thing a new perspective, because up to now, we always had speculations and a little bit of hearsay, so it's good to hear it from the source, so to speak.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Great, yeah. And of course, all the socials of either your event, but also your personal socials, if people want to approach you with ideas or something, will be in the descriptions. So if you are interested, check these out. And yeah, otherwise, I hope you have a very successful first run of this. Definitely looking forward to hear and read impressions from that. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, hopefully this will be the bridge between the worlds, so to speak.
Yes. Hi, all the German LARPers out there.
Of course, if you enjoyed this, leave a like, leave a comment, as usual. And if you like hearing my lovely thick German accent in some international videos, then let me know. Maybe I'll do more of these in the future. And other than that, I hope you have a good evening, a good night, a good day, wherever you are. Stay safe, and we see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.